So, this fourth story, we've had three stories of Jesus and Jesus by the sea, and this is the fourth one. So, the three stories were Jesus calling the disciples. They were in the song, so you should know. Jesus stilling the storm, and then breakfast by the beach. After Jesus' death and resurrection, he met the disciples, showed he was alive, and called them to follow him. There's one more sea story that we're looking at to complete the sea series. This is Jesus walking on the water, calling Peter, and I've entitled it With Jesus in the Storm. I don't know what's going on in your lives right now, but it's a great thing when the storm comes to be with Jesus. He is the one who can hold our hands and keep us secure. Jesus walks on the water. Peter steps out in faith. Now, Scholes Primary School had a special visitor a while ago. Anyone guess who he was?
Santa.
Sorry?
Santa.
Santa. Well, I was going to give you a clue. And you're right. Well done. Absolutely. So there's the clue. There we are. There is Santa. I know you've got a while to wait. Sorry, children. But the Christmas stuff in the shop's already, isn't it? There we are. But well done for guessing. So in this story, the disciples were in the storm and they had a special visitor. Jesus came. I think it must have been extraordinary. I don't know if you've been in a small boat in choppy seas and wondered whether you'd make it to shore. But they were desperate. Now, some of them were seasoned fishermen, but the Sea of Galilee is like that. You can get a storm coming over the mountains totally unexpectedly. But some of them, like Matthew, were landlubbers. In fact, in Matthew's gospel, he calls the storm an earthquake. In Mark's gospel, he uses a technical term for a special storm when the wind comes over the mountain. But Matthew says, it's an earthquake. Jesus came. Now, before he came in the story, he came to this earth. And that's one of the things that's absolutely extraordinary about Jesus. He was God in heaven with Father and the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. And he left heaven to come to this earth, especially to save us. In this story, we see him walking on the water, coming to the disciples to save them physically from the storm. But the whole Bible is about the Jesus who came into the world to save us. And the thing about this story is that Jesus came just when he was needed. Perfect timing. He let the disciples get a bit worried, but just when they were at their wit's end, he arrived walking on the water. Jesus, I think, comes to us at a time when he's just needed. If you don't know him as Saviour, maybe now's the time. But if you do know him as Saviour, then when you pray for help, it's wonderful how he answers. Now, if you're looking in your Bible, it's page 981 in the Church Bible. But Jesus came, and then Jesus said. Now, he said several things, but the first thing he said in verse 27 was, I am. Now, in fact, we looked at this last week because Jesus uses that special phrase, that special way of saying, I am. They think he's a ghost, and Jesus says, I am, translated as, it's me, but it's the same I am as I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the bread of life. It's that same special phrase. Jesus is saying who he is. And in the video, do you remember it highlighted at the beginning that Peter had been with Jesus for a couple of years? He'd seen the things that Jesus had done. He'd seen the miracles. He'd heard what Jesus had said. And so when Jesus says, I am, Peter's mind will have gone immediately to the character of Jesus, this unique person. We've had three stories. we've had Jesus saying, come follow me. And the disciples, somehow hardly knowing who he was, left their fish and their nets, followed him. Matthew, life turned around as a greedy, cheating tax collector, left his stuff and followed Jesus. And Peter was one of those. So Jesus says, I am, just consider who I am. Think of my amazing sayings. Think of my lifestyle. Think of all you've seen during the years you've been with me. And Jesus says, I am. This is the life of Jesus. Well, in summary, just a litany of extraordinary things. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He was never swore, never, you know, said anything that he regretted. He came and, you can't read that from the back, can you? But you perhaps know enough of the story to know how he fed the 5,000, how he gave the Sermon on the Mount, how he told people to turn the other cheek, how he raised Lazarus from the dead, the parables he told, etc., etc. Jesus said, I am, consider me. And there they are in the rough sea. Why does Jesus say, I am? Because it's all you need to know in the storm is the character of Jesus. That he's not just an ordinary man. He's not even just a good man. He's not even just a wise man who said great things. He's not even just a miracle worker. He is God himself come to this earth. And when you're with Jesus, you are all right. But then Jesus says, don't be afraid, fear not. Something is often said, you know, it's said in the Old Testament when God appears to one of the prophets, don't be afraid. Because, you know, although by rights we should be afraid of God, because we've all done things wrong, he's perfect, he's the judge of all the earth, and we should tremble. Yet when Jesus comes, he says, don't be afraid. Why? Because he comes to sort us out. Because he comes to still the storm. Because he comes to save. And then Peter says, if it's really you. Now, I don't know if Peter was doubting who Jesus was. You know, I'm not quite sure whether you're the Messiah or not. I think more likely it was this image of the ghost. You know, if you're a real person, if you can hear me speaking, if it's really you, then bid me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. Now, those are incredible words. I mean, in a storm, the boat's rocking. You saw in the little video clip, you know, the waves and the storms. And Jesus says to Peter, get out of the boat. Step on the water and walk to me. And he does because he knows who Jesus is. Because Jesus has said, come. Now, that wedding invitation wasn't to me. Would you have liked to have been invited to a royal wedding? I never mind the politics of what's gone on recently, but the royal wedding's quite an occasion, isn't it? Wouldn't it be lovely to have an invitation? But you've got an invitation from someone who's greater than royalty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you know, come is one of his favourite words. In Matthew, just three chapters earlier, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Peace in the heart, surety for the future. Jesus says, come. It's amazing how when God encounters people, he says, come to me. Then again, the children, that's why we have the Children's Week, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. And then in John 7, anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink, because he gives life and he gives peace and he gives purpose, all because he died for our sins and offers forgiveness to those who will turn from their sin and know him as Lord. It's interesting that Peter says, Lord, if it's you. You know, God, if it's really you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter responded, an act of faith, And our response to God's calling to come is to pray to him, say, yes, I believe in you, please, you know, take my life over. Peter responded in faith and got out of the boat into the stormy water. But then he took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. I think it's in God's mercy that he sank slowly. Have you ever thought about that? If you stepped on water, it would take about a second, wouldn't it, if you got out of the boat. But Peter obviously sank slowly enough for him to call out and say, Lord, save me, and for Jesus to reach out an arm and pull him in. I remember when we were walking along the canal and one of our children fell in the canal, and instantly, you know, we were there heaving him out. But here, Jesus just allows time so that Peter can see he really is the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who saves. Was it just a few weeks ago that we saw this extraordinary scene on television? 22nd of August in Pakistan, in Battagram. Do you remember that? Now, children, would you like to go to school on a cable car? There were 7 children in there on their way to school at 7 o'clock in the morning, and one adult, fortunately one adult, but some brave kids, and it broke, and they were there all day. And we saw a dramatic rescue. They were all saved by the end of the day. I love the fact that the Pakistani army with their helicopters couldn't do anything because of the downdraft, and it was some locals with a little homemade pulley system that got them out. That's wonderful self-reliance, isn't it, and so on. But that's what it is to be saved, to be in danger and then to be rescued. And that's certainly Peter's situation, sinking in the sea. Lord, save me. And he was rescued. Jesus is one who saves. Now, we're not in that situation. He's not physically here. We're not in a storm. But we can still reach out to the one who says, I am, to the one who is Lord of all, to the one who is so different, and say, Lord, save me. Because at the end of the story, Jesus is recognized. Because the disciples know that nobody else can walk on water. Nobody else can command Peter to walk on water. Nobody else can save when he's sinking. And it was when he got into the boat and the storm was stilled, and the seasoned fishermen who knew the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hand, who spent their lives on it, knew that a miracle had happened. And they said, surely this is the Son of God. Verse 33, then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. All three of our All at Sea stories have had this same message, that as Jesus reveals himself in different situations, the conclusion is the same. Only God could do this. And the response of the disciples, and in fact our response this morning, should be to fall and worship him. Well, not fall physically, but fall in our hearts, bow to his supremacy, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and to say, truly, you are the Son of God. And the invitation is to come. Now, Peter doubted. And he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And the call was a response to his doubt, to come to him. Because Jesus saves those who call out to him. Jesus then said to Peter, why do you doubt? Just picture the situation. You know, there's the storm, there's Jesus walking in the water, there's even Peter walking in the water, the storm is still. And no wonder Jesus says, why do you doubt? Haven't you got eyes in your head? Haven't you got a brain? You know, don't you see that Jesus, so extraordinary. Why do you doubt? Come to the Saviour who came to this world and entered it for you, lived for you, died for you, and rose again. Come, says Jesus. We're going to sing as our final song, Behold Our God. It goes through the verse of God the Creator, God the Amazing God. We see him and we worship him. Thank you for coming, particularly if you're a visitor. Nice to see you. Normal service will be resumed next week, as it were. If you're children, then our splat actually begins this week on Saturday. We have our first of the Horrible History series. But let's sing this song. Behold our God, the Creator and the Saviour of the world.